How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John Corrales, along with Jay King. We are the Reigning Jays, and today, the big news, and then we're going to spend the entire show talking about the Blake Griffin rumor, which dropped earlier today. Sean Devaney of the Sporting News had a piece this morning saying that the Celtics are aggressively pursuing a deal, and Blake Griffin is a target that they like, and that they may be closing a deal, a big deal, sometime soon. So we invited Sean to join the show today to talk about his report, which he agreed to, which is nice. We'll get to him in a couple of minutes. And then later, Jay was able to talk to DJ Foster of Fox Sports and of the Locked On Clippers podcast to get a little perspective, a little Celtics Clippers kind of perspective on this thing. But Jay, I mean, yesterday we did a whole show that we've been trying to pump up about Russell Westbrook, and as soon as we started pumping up the Russell Westbrook show, the Blake Griffin rumors drop.
Yeah, who's it going to be tomorrow? Steph Curry?
I'm all in on that. Let's do
LeBron.
That.
LeBron James. We should just start picking random names, like just creating Twitter accounts and start firing new news reports.
Look, man, I'm looking at what's out on Twitter now, and it seems like that's what people are doing anyway. But sorry.
We should join the crowd. We should start new Twitter accounts. We should join the charge. Obviously, we're not lumping Sean Devaney in this. He's a valued reporter, a solid reporter. But man, it's a funny time because you hear about a new guy every day, and every day it's like one of those wow guys. And then in the meanwhile, you know, the Celtics didn't have the right assets or didn't want to part with enough assets to get a guy like Jimmy Butler at the draft. So They didn't have enough to get Jimmy Butler. Now they're looking at Russell Westbrook and Blake Griffin. I love trade season, man. And I do think if they pile enough assets on top of each other that they'll have enough to pry one of these guys. But it's going to take the right situation and the right player and the right amount of assets that the other team wants. So Danny Ainge is waiting to strike. Who knows if it'll happen. So we've got Sean on to give us more about the report. We've got DJ Foster on to give us the Clippers side of things and kind of explain what the heck they think about all this Blake Griffin chatter. and then we're going to react to all of it because that's what we do. We're the Reigning Jays. We give you the greatest analysis the world has ever heard.
All right. With that, let's welcome in our guest tonight, Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. All right, Sean, thanks for joining us tonight. Let's just dive right into this. You had the big report today, which was on the heels of another big report yesterday about another player, and then there's another report about another player. So why don't we get into what you know and what your sources have told you?
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because you talk to a bunch of different people and you're going to get a bunch of different answers and you get sort of bits and pieces about what might be going on sort of behind the scenes here. There's little doubt. Well, obviously, we know the Celtics are trying to make a big trade. I mean, that's been the case for 3 years now, so that's not a big surprise. But it does appear that that they at least think they're getting closer to something here. When you talk to agents and things like that, you know, guys around these players, a lot of they're still looking for free agents. They're still talking to other people as if they're going to have roster spots and things like that, which certainly indicates that that they're planning on having those spots available. And of course, the way you get those spots is you're gonna have to trade a few guys. So it does look like they're planning on getting something done probably sooner rather than later.
So when we're talking about Blake Griffin specifically, that from just give us a sense, as far as you can tell, how advanced are these talks? Where are we in this sort of process? We know the Celtics are going to be very aggressive with a lot of different teams, but specifically about the Blake Griffin stuff, where do you see this? What stage of the discussion do you see this in?
Well, I mean, you have to remember that this is a discussion that they've already had, right? You know, and a lot of these discussions, you know, if you go back to the trade deadline, we're going on then, and so you've got, you know, it's hard to say that they're advanced at this point because they already sort of know the contours of how something like this would look and whether they would need a third team, things like that. You know, what each team is trying to get. So, you know, it's I can't say specifically, you know, how far advanced they are, but there's no question that both sides know what they're looking for here. You know, the big thing with Griffin has always been, you know, will Doc Rivers pull the trigger on something? You know, is he at that point with this team where he kind of sees the writing on the wall that they've gone as far as they're going to go, and they're going to have to A, make some changes for the short term, and B, make some changes for the long term as well. So, you know, that's the real difference with this is it appears, at least when you talk to people around the league, that Doc might have finally come to that point where he says, okay, I've really got to see what I can get for Blake. So, you know, that once that becomes the case, then it's not going to be real hard for them to turn around and move Blake Griffin and put together a deal for him.
I just want to play off of something that you said there, because I think maybe some people need to understand that talks like this can be continuation. So what you're referencing is stuff that happened back at the trade deadline. That stuff doesn't just go away because it doesn't happen at the trade deadline, right? That stuff, these rumors, these sources, this is just a continuation of discussions that happen throughout the year and at different points of the season.
Yeah, and you know, it's a situation where a lot of guys don't like making deals at the trade deadline for a couple reasons. You know, if you're the team that's getting the new player, if you're getting Blake Griffin, you know, you don't have a lot of time to really work him in. And don't forget that, you know, he was injured and things like that. So you know, from that perspective, you don't necessarily like to do that. If you're the seller, if you're working to try to put together a package for him, you know, sometimes you don't want to do it under the pressure of a deadline. So you say, okay, well, we know where we are, and we can revisit this later. You know, because you don't want to have to make that decision under that kind of pressure. And you think you might be able to create a better market in the summer. You also, if you're dealing with draft picks, then you've got a better sense of how the lottery will play out, things like that. So, you know, I think, there's no question that this is the kind of thing that really does take some time. You know, Danny always says, you know, it took him what, a year or 2 years to finally get Kevin Garnett traded to the Celtics. That's how it works. You know, there's a lot of groundwork that has to be laid. Sometimes deals come together quickly, but very often most deals will be something that have been in the works for a while and kind of gone hot and cold over time.
One thing that I'm not sure was clear in your report was what gave you the idea that Blake Griffin is the likely target rather than Russell Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, any of those other guys that have been talked about with regard to the Celtics since the trade deadline and beyond?
Yeah, there's just talking to other GMs, you know, and getting a sense of, you know, what where the Clippers are in that, and what the Celtics are looking for. The indications were that that's who the Celtics, you know, feel like they have the best chance of getting. You know, there's no question that that they're going to consider all their options, obviously, and if they feel like they have a better deal for somebody else, and then that's where they're going to go. But yeah, just the fact that Doc Rivers is sort of moved to the from definitely not trading Blake Griffin to, well, okay, you know, this is something we've got to look at. I think that's what leads a lot of people to believe that that it's Griffin that is the most likely to wind up with the Celtics.
One other thing I'm curious about, just from a guy who reads a lot I go to the Summer League event, I talk to guys too. Obviously, you discuss a lot of trade rumors, trade reports, conversations that happen. I guess, what is the threshold for you when you're deciding between whether to report a story and whether to not report a story? Because obviously there are a lot of talks that don't go reported. What makes you kind of feel like this one and other ones you report are bigger ones?
You know, I think it depends on the number of people who sort of are saying the same thing, and what they're do they have an agenda and thing like that and things like that, and if it seems like if you've got four or five people telling you much the same thing, then there's a lot of smoke there, and whether there's fire, we'll see. But for me, this just the number of people who were saying much the same thing, seem to be indicating that like I said in the story to start it, that definitely something is up, that there's definitely the way that they're approaching other players and things like that, it does give you some pretty strong indications that something is up with them, and like I said, then it's just a matter of trying to figure out, okay, what are some of the choices here, what are some of the possibilities, what's most likely in terms of what these guys are hearing.
Yeah, that's what makes the Celtics so fun for us to cover around trade deadline time, around trade rumor season. It's like every single player is out there. They're looking at everybody. They're trying to go after everybody. And there's always a deal out there to be had, whether they ultimately accept it or not. There's always conversations. It's crazy. But I guess with this one, what would be the percentage you would put on the likelihood of the Celtics making a big deal before next season?
Oh, I would put it pretty high. You know, I would put it in the 75-80% mark. I just think that obviously they've got a lot at stake. Obviously, they're working this pretty hard, and obviously they've got they've got the best assets available. I think that there is a sense that now's the time. The iron's ready. They've got to hit it. And so I think that this is something that they're going to like to get done. Obviously, they could try to do something at the trade deadline next year. I don't think they want to do that. If they're going, especially if you're going to get somebody who's going to be a free agent, you're going to at least want that whole season. So with the guy like a Blake Griffin or a Russell Westbrook, that's not a deal you want to make in February. Obviously, you want to make that before the season. So, I think that from what I'm hearing, this is something that is probably going to come down, before the Olympics. But certainly it could, if something gets stalled and it goes after, then I wouldn't say that means that something's not going to get done before October.
In your conversations, Sean, have you gotten any sense of who the Celtics might be willing to part with, if there's anybody who's untouchable in these kinds of discussions?
Yeah, I think that the pick next year, the one that they can swap with Brooklyn, is one that they really want to keep off the table. I think they'd be more willing, from what I've heard, to to move that 2018 pick. But that's obviously, look, if it comes down to, moving the pick next year or not getting something done, then maybe that will change. But I think that's a starting point in terms of the picks. I don't think that you can really say there are many guys who are off the table here. You know, I don't think that they're, looking to move Isaiah, obviously. But if they have to include Jay Crowder, I think they would. Avery Bradley, it seems like Amir Johnson is sort of a foregone conclusion just to make salaries match depending on how all that works out. But he would most likely have to be included. I don't necessarily think anybody's off the table. I think the picks are probably protect more than anything else.
Jay?
Yeah, those picks, obviously the most valuable thing. One interesting part of your story is that they would try to hold on to those picks. Is that just Danny Ainge striking a hard bargain so far? Do you really think that's a realistic thing if they get one of these star type of players to hold on to both of those Brooklyn picks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, if you're negotiating, I think that's where you have to start, right? And you have to really make it as though, you really have to pry those picks away. And that you're making a big concession. Obviously they've tried for some time now to make those picks seem as valuable as they possibly can, and the way they value them isn't necessarily the way the rest of the league has valued them. But I think that everybody can look at the writing on the wall and see where Brooklyn is going, and see that next year's draft should be a very good one, and I think that's why the 2017 pick at least definitely has considerable value, and that's one that that they really do want to cling to. But again, I do think that there is some posturing there. That of course that's where you want to start.
Okay, Sean. So. Let's try to look forward here. Based on what you know, based on what you think, are you comfortable? Let me see if you're comfortable answering this question. Who's the Celtics starting five on opening night?
I think that the Blake Griffin thing is a distinct possibility. So I'm going to put him in there, and we'll see obviously how it plays out. But there's no question that they're in a good position to make that happen. That's something that I'd go ahead and say. So I'd probably say that you'd have Griffin and Horford, Horford back at center. I know he didn't necessarily want to be a center anymore, but I'm sure he'll deal with it to play with Blake Griffin. So I think you'd have those two. And obviously, you'd have Isaiah. We'll see what happens in terms of who gets traded. But I'd assume if they can keep Avery Bradley, they will. And he'd be the shooting guard. I think small forward would still be a little bit iffy. Maybe Jarebko would fit there. If I had to bet, I guess I would bet that that Blake Griffin would be in the starting five.
Well, that would be very interesting, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Interesting development. Well, Sean, all I can say is keep working those sources, man, because Lord knows tomorrow might be a different story altogether.
Yeah, absolutely.
thanks for coming on a day where you had the biggest story out there. And really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jay. Lots to talk about coming out of that. I love that he stuck to his guns and said Blake Griffin will probably be on the – well, I don't know probably is the right word, but when asked who the Celtics starting lineup would be, he put Blake Griffin in there.
Yeah, and – just to be clear, since his report came out, someone from the LA Times came out and said a source told him that there was no truth to it, and that's probably the Clippers shooting it down. And Chris Mannix has gone on Comcast, I believe, and said he would be really, really surprised if either Blake Griffin or Russell Westbrook went to the Celtics. So this is trade rumor season, man. You hear one name, other people shoot it down, then the next name comes cycling through. You never know what's true, what's not, which sources are trying to spin you. which sources aren't. And it's just a crazy, crazy time. One thing I want to talk about Sean's chat with us, the roster spot thing. So right now they have 12 players under roster. And that does not include Jaylen Brown, who will almost certainly sign with the team. That makes it 13. They still have other draft picks to make decisions on. Ben Bentel, Demetrius Jackson, Abdul Nader, who suddenly he's a solid-looking prospect at the Summer League. And then Gershon Yabusele, who will probably go overseas, but that hasn't been fully decided yet. So you have a chance to get up to 15, but there also is a chance that they have roster spots and that they could have cap space because they can let go of Tyler Zeller, renounce his rights, and let go of John Holland, and then have up to two spots and about $11 million, I believe, in cap space. No, not that much. I don't know, 8 or 9, whatever it is. But they could have a bit of they could have a bit of cash. I'm losing it, man. I used to have it before Sullinger left, but then Sullinger left, and there's so many numbers going through my head, I lost it. But they could still open up a little bit of cap space and possibly go after free agents. So I don't think it's altogether surprising that they have been contacting free agents about possible roster spots because, you know, they might have some as the roster currently stands. It's possible that they'll keep Bentel Jackson somewhere else and, you know, who knows what they do with James Young. Maybe they try to trade him. Maybe they just waive him. So that could be another roster spot. So it is possible for them to have space and go after free agents, even if they don't consolidate some roster spots in a big trade for somebody like Griffin, Westbrook, Jimmy Butler, whatever star it might be tomorrow.
Yeah, the names are out there. Look, we've had in consecutive days Howard Beck, well-respected, well-sourced, come out and really put the Russell Westbrook story out there. And that's a pretty big deal. When you come out and make that kind of statement, you got to have some meat behind that. Then Sean Devaney comes out and does this. And then Chris Mannix comes out and says what he said, that he thinks that he put Kevin Love and Butler and those guys' names out there. I guess the lesson is nobody knows for sure. And the Celtics are really, really being aggressive. Again, Sean said that he expects a deal to be done before the Olympics and that he's 75 to 80% sure that they are going to do a deal this summer. That's a big, big number. The reports, no matter who you believe or what you believe, I think there's one common thread here. The Celtics are really trying very hard to make a move this summer. I think Danny Ainge is trying to replicate what he did in 2007, where you went out and got Ray Allen. I think Al Horford fills that Ray Allen role. And now he's going out to get the guy. And if that guy is Russell Westbrook or Griffin, or they reopen some sort of talks with Jimmy Butler or whatever it is, I think he's trying to go out now and get that next guy with the trade. And so something, it really feels like now we're getting close to something happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. If we've learned one thing about Danny Ainge over the past few years, it's that he's going to be patient. And he believes the one way to kill a rebuilding process and to kill, you know, the goal of building a contender and a stable contender is to go out and make the wrong move. And so far, he's avoided that. He's been patient. He wanted to move that number three pick. He looked into moving it. He looked everywhere, and he just couldn't find the right deal. And you know, now he's hunting again. He will keep hunting, but again, you know, sometimes you got to be patient. And there are all these names out there. You go to Las Vegas for Summer League, and guys are it's unbelievable how many different guys are speculated to be Celtics targets out there. And everyone's so interested about the Celtics situation because there's so much that's fluid about it. And everyone knows that Danny Ainge is out there and has the assets to go chase another star. And so the Celtics, when you go to a lot of these places, they're kind of like the talk of the events because, you know, obviously people are talking about the Warriors. They're unbelievable, but their team is set. You know, the Celtics, people don't know what they're going to do. They don't know what the next move is. They don't know what they're going to look like by the time training camp opens in the end of September. So they really are a team a lot of people speculate about. And a lot of people wonder, you know, who's that next guy they're going to try to bring in? And when will that happen? When will Ainge finally shake someone free after years now of trying to get that guy, whether it was from Kevin Love 2 years ago to, you know, now we're talking about Blake Griffin and Russell Westbrook on this podcast. And again, it's going to be Stephen Curry tomorrow. You know, Draymond Green the next day, probably like Paul George. I know he's your favorite the day
yes.
after that.
So I'm going to start that rumor. Yeah, yes. It's funny. I know everybody listening is waiting, pins and needles. And I don't know if you, dear listener, will be able to handle this if this falls through again. I don't know, Jay, if the fan base, if they go through this summer now without having made a trade, I think everybody's just juiced up. Like, do we need to, like, talk people down? Or I think we saw what happened on draft night.
It would be so horrible to watch a 52-win team that is also going to have a top five pick from the Brooklyn Nets coming in a loaded draft. That would really be an awful place to be a fan for that really good team that might fight for second in the Eastern Conference and then is going to add another top lottery pick along with Jaylen Brown, who has looked so promising the last couple of games in Summer League. So I don't think the Celtics fans should be talked down from anything. Don't get your hopes up because, as with all trade rumors, They're long shots. Even the ones that are talked about get close to the end. These are long shots. So much can fall apart. So many things have to go right for a trade to work out that any name you hear is unlikely to join the Celtics until it happens. So don't get your hopes up. But even if the Celtics don't get one of these guys, they are in such a good spot. Now they are in such a good spot moving forward. And one of these days, one of their targets is going to come shaking free, and Danny Ainge is going to be sitting there with a smile and his arms wide open, waiting to embrace the newest Celtic. And who knows who that'll be? Maybe it's Blake Griffin. Maybe it's Russell Westbrook. Maybe it's somebody else. But it's going to happen at some point. And Ainge is just waiting for the right opportunity. As I said, they've got assets to pile on top of each other. It's just whether you want to use them and whether you find that opportunity you can use them. And it's coming someday, folks. So don't get your hopes up now, but get your hopes up for the future because the future is bright. It's going to be a 52-win team, and they're going to be the number two or three team in the Eastern Conference. They're going to get out of the first round finally for the first time in the Brad Stevens era. And who knows? Who knows after that? And who knows before that? You know, maybe they get that next superstar or first superstar. Depending on what you think of Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, it's a fun time for a Celtics fan, even if they don't get one of these guys.
You heard him. Jay, voice of reason king.
Got to be that voice of reason.
I do agree. And I'm glad you said it that way because in I was asked these same questions on Twitter. And the answer is always the same. I really never believe too much in these deals for these megastars because they're so hard to pull off, especially when you hear these rumors that a third team might be involved. Anything that involves three teams, it's much less likely to happen. So I know you guys want to get really pumped up and dream about buying your Westbrook jersey or your Griffin jersey or whatever jersey. I'm with you. I'm excited for it too. Temper the expectations a little bit, but, you know, still, I mean, tomorrow is going to be another day, another report. We'll see what happens. But for now, Blake Griffin's in the spotlight. And Jay, you talked earlier to DJ Foster of Fox Sports and the Locked On Clippers podcast. So why don't we take a listen to some of what you guys talked about?
every day it's a new rumor with the Celtics. Yesterday it was Russell Westbrook. Today it's Blake Griffin. It's always somebody. So, DJ, I've got to have your opinion. From a Clippers perspective, what is your take on the latest Blake Griffin to the Celtics rumor?
Yeah, for all the Celtics trades you guys get, the Clippers are getting a lot of Blake Griffin rumors lately as well. And I think you can kind of see the logic behind it, that maybe this Chris Paul Blake Griffin combo isn't going to work. They both can opt out of their contracts next offseason. So that part is logical. The whole Rudy Gay thing, not so much. Not so much.
Yeah, that was weird. And then, like, I understand why the Clippers would want to investigate switching up their core. Obviously, they haven't even gotten to Western Conference Finals. Now you've got the Warriors, who look invincible in the Western Conference. You've still got the Spurs, although Duncan retired. Like, it's looking more and more like if they ever had a window, it might close. And one thing about the chats with them, Doc Rivers complicates things because he's the GM, he's the coach. Do you think he would seriously think about trading Blake Griffin, like arguably their best player, for whatever the Celtics could get him, whether it's future picks? Do you think that would be appealing to him?
Right. It's like the old Bill Parcells thing. Like, if you're going to cook, let me buy the groceries. Okay, so Doc is cooking and buying the groceries. Why would he shop at the 99-cent store and rebuild when he has, you know, a filet mignon right in front of him with Blake Griffin? I don't think he's going to turn the Clippers into this rebuilding, young, you know, draft pick heavy team, right? Because he's the coach. Who wants to deal with that from a coaching perspective? A bunch of 19-year-old kids who are raw, who are going to take time. He won't play the 19-year-old kids he has now. Why would he build a whole team around them? I just don't see any scenario where the Clippers are going to take themselves from a second or a third seed in the Western Conference and rebuild in this kind of way. And make no mistake, Rudy Gay and draft picks, you're rebuilding.
No doubt. Although Doc could be the type of guy who would be like, you know what? Rudy Gay had this awesome game against me like 5 years ago. Like that guy's a stud, man. Got to bring him in. Do you see any package, if there's no third team, if Rudy Gay isn't involved, do you see any package the Celtics could put together that might be intriguing?
It's really hard because I like a lot of the Celtics pieces individually. I just don't think they add up to enough to get Blake. Like, I like Kelly Olynyk. He's a nice player. And I think now that, you know, he's a little stretchier and he can shoot and there's, you know, he's a good passer and there's a lot of things he can do. But I don't think he can headline a Blake Griffin trade, right? Am I crazy for thinking that?
No.
Even though there's nice pieces, that none of them will add up enough to get Blake?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to include Crowder. You'd have to include,
right?
You know, maybe someone like Avery Bradley, someone like Kelly Olynyk, Marcus Smart. There's a lot of nice pieces, but again, like you have Blake Griffin, he's a top 15 player, and
right.
I see why they'd want to trade him, but it's tough to find a deal that works. And the Celtics' biggest assets right now are that 2017 pick, the 2018 pick from the Brooklyn Nets. But again, who knows whether Doc Rivers values that, because he's trying to win right now. And as much as it looks like the Warriors are going to win the title this year, Doc Rivers is a stubborn guy. He's not going to concede this year when he's got Chris Paul, he's got DeAndre Jordan, he's got Blake Griffin, for now at least. I just don't see it. I have to ask you a question. If Blake does go somewhere else, do you think he has another level that he could reach for a different team, maybe in a system that highlights more of his playmaking?
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the best of Blake Griffin. You know, we have started to see more and more of him becoming a playmaker and being more involved in the offense, but just by way of having Chris Paul there, the ball isn't in his hands as much as it could be somewhere else. So, yeah, I don't think we've seen the best of Blake Griffin. I don't know that the Clippers are an ideal fit for him, but it is a pretty good fit because he does need that rim protection. He does need that defensive rebounding. He's not nearly the rebounder people think that he is. And he has shooters, you know, all around, J.J. Redick. So he's in a good spot. I don't know if it's the perfect spot, but I do think he is in a good spot.
Yeah, I just think back to that playoffs when Chris Paul was injured. And it just seemed like he unlocked a different level. And the ball was in his hands. He was almost like a point forward. And that's kind of how I would envision the Celtics playing him if he ever wound up there. Like obviously you have Isaiah Thomas, but he could play off the ball a lot. So that's why I was wondering that, just because, you know, he is a great player. But I feel like there's more there. And maybe that's why, you know, they would explore moving him, because – they were great without him this year, and that had to at least trigger Doc's mind a little bit, don't you think? The way they succeeded with small ball and Paul and Jordan.
Right. I think, again, there are reasons why you would split up Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. I just don't think that any trade is going to get the value back to make the Clippers a better team when you're trading Blake Griffin. I mean, even the Celtics trade we just described, you named a bunch of guys, good players, definite good players. But isn't that like the definition of selling someone for 50 cents on the dollar?
Yeah, or like just a whole bunch of quarters, however much they add up to. Whoever it would be.
Right.
Yeah, it would be role players for a star. And in the NBA, that normally doesn't get you better in playoff basketball. That's just how the league is. When you're in the finals, when you're deep into the playoffs, what talent wins. You know, we saw it in the finals. It's like,
yeah,
even really good players, they get shut down. It's like Kevin Love, he's a really, really good player. In the finals, nothing. He was almost useless, even offensively, where he normally kills. It's tough to see a trade, but it's also tough to see the Clippers contending with their current roster. They're just in a weird, weird place to me, because they are, you know, a move or two away. But like, what is that move? How much flexibility do they have? And the only way I see them trading him, and tell me if I'm wrong, is like if they panic and they're like, you know what, we're not going to do it with this core. Let's see if we can reconfigure things and take a step forward some other way, whatever that way may be.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the one thing you have to remember is that players don't care about draft picks. They don't get excited for draft picks. They don't say the current players on the roster. Like if you go to Chris Paul and be like, hey, man, in 2019, we're going to have a top three pick. I don't think that's going to get any player to stick around. And that's what we're looking at now with the Clippers. Blake Griffin and Chris Paul can both exercise their early termination options next offseason and become free agents. So if you're Doc Rivers, are you going to try and sell Chris Paul on staying with the 2019 draft pick? Or are you going to try and sell him on staying with Blake Griffin?
Do you think that both those guys like the situation in Los Angeles and would probably stay through next year? Or do you think there's a real fear in the organization that they'll, if they keep those guys, they'll lose one or both of them next year?
I think there's definitely some fear, but it's not like a paralyzing fear to where you know they're so concerned that there's nothing that they can do. Because I think if we follow what they did this offseason, they kept the band back together, right? They re-signed Austin Rivers. They re-signed Jamal Crawford. So they clearly think that they have a nucleus that can at least contend, that can maybe, you know, get to a Western Conference Finals. And with some injury luck, who knows? I mean, the Rockets just 2 years ago went to the Western Conference Finals because of some injury luck. So I think they think they're close, and so close enough that they keep their nucleus together. But I have a really hard time seeing them making a Blake Griffin trade and getting better on the court right away.
Yeah, and I think that's what it all comes down to. In the end, as much as Doc Rivers will probably investigate what he can do, it's just tough to envision him pulling that trigger, even with the Warriors out there looming as this mountain of a team, even with the fact that maybe there are some fit issues, even though, you know, I do think when those guys play together, they're great. I mean, when Paul Griffin and DeAndre Jordan play together, they've never been the issue. I've always thought the depth has been the issue over there more than anything else, and injuries, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, last question before I let you go. What is the percentage, in your eyes, that Blake Griffin is somewhere else at the beginning of this coming season?
I would say less than 5%. I'm going to put it at 2.7%. I always wanted to play like the PTI game where they get to pick just some random number on the percentages. So I'm going to go with 2.7% that Blake Griffin is in a different uniform. Again, you're just not going to improve the product this year by trading Blake Griffin. If anything, if you're talking a three-way deal with Sacramento, DeMarcus Cousins is a much more interesting name than Rudy Gay to me. But I don't think Blake's going anywhere.
Yeah. What if they did throw Cousins in there? That would be a crazy trade. If the Celtics get Griffin and the Clippers get Cousins and then Sacramento gets draft picks and solid young players, then you never know. Who knows? Here I am out here making bogus trade rumors to get DeMarcus Cousins and DeAndre Jordan in the same front court. I'm out of control. This whole thing is out of control. I mean, trade rumor season is crazy to me. There's always a new name. There's always a new rumor. Who knows what's made up? Who knows what's real? It's a wild time every summer, especially for Celtics fans because they have so many assets. And now Clippers fans, because you know that they're in that weird dilemma where they're really good, but maybe not good enough. It's a crazy time. But thank you, DJ, for coming on. This is a Locked On Celtics podcast. He's the Locked On Clippers podcast. Follow us on iTunes. Follow us on Audio Boom. Follow us wherever else you get podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. We deserve it. He deserves it. Yeah. Blake Griffin will play somewhere next year. There's a 97.3% chance it'll be Los Angeles.
Well, we think. Or maybe not.